I'm Lieutenant Joe Pangaro. I've been a cop for 27 years. I like to say I got a backstage pass to life. Well, guess what? I got some tickets for you. So come on in, pull up a chair, turn up that volume, and let's go. Chasing Justice is on.
Hello, everybody. This is your host, Lieutenant Joe Pangaro, here on Chasing Justice on the America Out Loud Radio Network. I got to tell you what a fantastic week we have ahead here. I mean, there's so much going on in our country and in the world. I know a lot of you watched the Viewpoint program with Malcolm that he had me on. We talked about the deep state and what that means to us. I think there's so much coming out about this investigation and what it means to our country and how we've been betrayed by the people we're supposed to count on. How we can count on the FBI and Department of Justice and the entire system of what we consider to be our American heritage has betrayed most of us. We found so much going on in the last couple of weeks. You know, I think one of the things our Democrat friends have talked about forever was that phone call conversations after the Russian meeting between Trump Jr. and in Trump Tower. And it came out the other day that they finally tracked down those calls, and they were not to his father. He didn't call his father to say, this is what we're going to talk about in Russia and we're going to collude. It turns out he actually called a couple of his friends about something totally unrelated. That destroys one of the Democrat talking points that they're getting together to try and use Russia to win the elections. It's absolutely amazing. But have you heard anything about that? You probably have not. So that's interesting this week. We're going to talk about sports, the value of sports. We just had one of the greatest sporting events the world has ever seen. This is the Spartan Games of the future, the Super Bowl. Now, I know I've told you, and a lot of us on Chasing Justice had said for a long time that we're not watching football anymore because they kneel, and we've made a choice. We're gonna back our military personnel, and we're gonna back the law enforcement community. And if they're gonna kneel and they're gonna go against them, then we wouldn't watch. We decided maybe we'll watch a little Super Bowl. A lot has been made about disrespect. What is disrespect? And we said this last week, and I thought it was a great show we had last week. We talked about understanding that the players have something to say. They have just as much value as anybody else has something to say. We need to understand their concerns. But for them to just decide they're going to kneel, knowing that it offends and it is disrespectful to our military and to our law enforcement, we can't do it. So we chose not to. But we just had the Super Bowl. And it was a thing. It's funny, I was in church today. And the priest is talking about, you know, the Super Bowl and how important that is to everyone because it brings people together. It's a time for us to forget all the other nonsense and do something as a people. Why do we have to inject politics into these things? Can't we just figure out it's sports, let's have fun, let's hope our team wins, let's all come together, Democrat and Republican, and enjoy a game, all right? How about the Academy Awards? Everybody loves movies. How can we just talk about the movies that are fun, that are great, instead of worry about somebody up there going up there and insulting half of the country because the actors, the people paid to be in these movies, want to say something negative about what half the country believes? And actually, I think it's more than half the country, and that's why the guy won last time. He's going to win the next time. But that's a whole nother story. So that's the kind of things we want to talk about today, the value of sports in our life. Then we're going to talk about our Democratic friends. Are they out of touch, the stuff they've been coming up with the last couple weeks? I mean, I've been shocked, and I've really held back. And you know how many times here on Chasing Justice we have avoided the abortion question because there's so many different reasons. And I know Rock and Roll Race Car Jack has his opinion, but I got to tell you, what they're coming up with now, this is a whole nother world. This takes us to another place. When I talk about the revolution, that's got to be a part of the revolution. So we're going to get to that as we move along. So I've decided to ask the guys from the neighborhood to join me for all three segments because it's a big weekend. There's a lot going on. And, you know, these guys, they got a lot to say. And we sit around a campfire and we have a cocktail and we're solving the problems of the world. So without further ado, I would introduce your favorites and mine. Rock and Roll Race Car Jack. How are you, Jack?
Hey, Joe. Great to be here as always.
And I'm glad you made it this week. And we have Bill Dallas, our man of faith. Bill, how are you doing today?
I am doing absolutely great, Joe. I really am.
Now, Jim Giordano, our contrarian, I think he's still afraid of Jack because this is 2 weeks in a row that Jim hasn't joined us. I think Jack doesn't want to talk about it. You guys didn't have a fight off camera somewhere, did you, right? You off mic, right? You guys fish this fight?
It's only going to hurt a lot, Jim.
Oh, boy. No worry, Jim. Come on back. We'll protect you. Bill, I'll stand up for you when you get here. And we got another member of our neighborhood today. This is a longtime friend that a lot of us have had for a long time. That's why they call him a longtime friend. Isn't that funny? So today we're bringing a new guy, and we're going to call him Yankee Doodle Keith because he is from Massachusetts, and I like Yankee Doodle because that's where it came from. So Keith, how are you? Welcome aboard.
Thank you, Joe. Glad to be here, but actually not a Yankee Doodle. Transplanted New Jerseyan.
Oh, so actually, that's right. Well, you're from Jersey, and you went up to Massachusetts where, you know, they got 17 more feet of snow. fantastic. Well, why the hell would anybody live in the Northeast? I mean, I don't get it. We had 0 degree temperatures last week, as opposed to living in Florida. But I guess that's a whole nother story. Well,
that's the change of seasons. We have everything. I mean, look at the summertime. We are in a place where everybody wants to be. We have the mountains within a few minutes. We have the beaches. We have the city. We have everything right here. The best food in the world.
You're right. As long as we don't have snow on the ground, which is horrible. Because I saw a meme the other day, you know, on social media. And somebody showed it and said, oh my gosh, the alligator came out and saw his shadow. Means 12 more months of summer here in Florida. I didn't know whether to slap the person or to cry. I didn't know what to do. I love summer. But I'm glad you guys are all here. So now that we have three segments together and we have the whole entire Chasing Justice audience across the country listening, which we really appreciate, what do we think about the wall and the conversation that happened this week? We see that the president signed that bill that reopened the government, and we have 15 days for them to get together. Jack, is it a wall? Is it a barrier? Is it something we don't need?
You know, I'm just going to reiterate what I've said in the past. The Democratic Party always accused, the Republicans accused Donald Trump, President Trump, of not negotiating or not trying to make, what's the word I'm looking for?
Make progress in what they were trying to do, not trying to get together, not to compromise.
They want compromises, exactly, I'm sorry. They don't want to compromise. Now, it seems it's the other side. President Trump has produced three different programs, three different ideologies to try and solve this problem and still get his wall funded, and yet the Democratic side will not negotiate one single dime for something that they, along with President Obama and President Clinton, had all proposed and voted for in the past.
So I saw an article that came out a couple days ago, Senator Brown, he's a Democrat from somewhere in the Midwest, and he came out, he's thinking about running for president. And what he said was, there's consensus on the committee that we would probably be okay with some kind of a barrier, but definitely not Trump's wall. He's not getting the wall.
Because walls are medieval, as you well know.
Yes, of course. You have a fence in your backyard?
Yes, I do.
Of course, that's how to make good neighbors. Billy, go ahead.
I'm telling you that everybody has an opinion on this. I'm no different. I love the fact that President Trump did not cave, but he gave an inch. He let them know that, okay, I'm willing to compromise. Here it is. This is what I'm suggesting. And guess what? Pelosi and her crew went right back to the, I'm not going to do it. Why? He's giving them what they asked for.
And you know what? They're looking at polls. They're looking at polls, and the polls are, and I don't know where they're coming up with these polls that say the majority of Americans do not want a wall. Well, you know what? I think just like a lot of people that, when you look at Trump's numbers, and he's like 32, 33, well, I think a lot of people are not running their mouth going, I'm for Trump, because you can get beat up. You wear a hat, you can get beat up wearing a Trump hat, and you get called all kinds of names. You have professional problems if you say you're a Trump supporter. You could lose your job. You could be berated. So I think people are going to be like, no opinion, go in that voting booth, and boom, and there it goes again, just like the last time.
And once again, that division, in my opinion, is caused by the media. It's the direct cause of this division. If Nancy Pelosi has anything to say at all, anything to say, it is televised. Anything she has to say that's negative is televised. Any news quip they can get from her that's negative is always put on the air, and it is driven over and over and over again, because I watch CNN, I watch NBC, and I watch Fox. And you know what, folks? There's their truth, his truth, and the real truth is in the middle.
So let me ask you, where's our Republican brother and sisters jumping up and saying what's right, what's constitutional, what should we do for our country? Where are these spineless Republicans that are not helping us.
As we've discussed before, this is driven by the vote. If those Republicans that feel they're behind President Trump, if they're staunch Republicans, if they're staunch right-wingers, they want to do the right thing. They want to support Trump. But to do it openly at this current time seems to be political suicide.
But why? Because the most people that are for Trump won't speak up because they're afraid to be berated.
We're busy working.
We're busy working. Billy, you had something to say. Go ahead.
It's just the fact, why do you think that the media is fanning the flames of this controversy? It's because newspaper sales are down. People are reading their news on the internet. They're going to do whatever they can to get their newspapers sold. And fanning these flames on this wall controversy is just one way of getting it done.
Yeah, Bill, you're absolutely right. And they don't want to report on President Trump's concessions to these bills. They don't want to report on the fact that he wants to bring in more judges to clear up the immigration mess so that we can get the people who wish to come here and be productive into the country. They don't want to focus on the fact that he wants to bring the people in at a higher rate. He wants to bring them in faster, easier, and
But the bottom line
is, and always was for me, the fundamentalist, what's wrong with legal immigration?
Okay, so Bill, please, a drum roll, please. Right. And boom. What have I said all the time? They are distracting us. This is a game. The whole idea is to get as many people in here. They're going to vote for Democrats. They don't care how they do it. They're just giving all of us this red meat to fight and argue about. Mm-hmm. They know that a wall works. They know that this is the right thing to do. Not only that, what about the people that come across that border and they die in the field? These little children that get dragged for a better life. We know why they're coming. At Chasing Justice, we say it all the time. We get why they're coming. But if you open that fence and you let them cross that 50-mile, 40-mile expanse of desert and they die there, how is that justice for anybody? How do we stand that let that happen? Put up the wall and they'll go to the proper entry point.
The liberal media is driving the bus. And guess what? You're not getting dropped off at your house. Okay? You don't have a choice in this matter as to what they give you as news. The right-wing media has got nothing but slammed constantly over and over and over again. They don't want to discuss the concessions. They don't want to discuss the fact that if President Trump had voted for something 2 years ago and was and flip-flopped on that now, they would never let it go. It would be on a nightly broadcast every single night for the last 2 years.
So here we are, and we're at this point again where we're looking at all of this. We've said these points over and over again, and I know Chasing Justice audience, most of them kind of get it. And we have a lot of people on the left side that listen to the show. I know they're out there. They email, they send me messages. And they are just hoping that, you know, we can try and work something. Everyone wants to work something out. So this guy Brown, this Senator Brown, says that they will. Well, are we talking semantics? What stops them from saying, here's your $5.7 billion for a barrier, but not a wall? And Trump going, thank you. Passed it. He signs it. Now he's got the money. He goes, I'm building a concrete wall for $5.7 billion. What stops that? This is a game we're playing.
In all fairness, the barrier that the Democrats voted wholeheartedly for a few years back was a fence act. So we weren't talking about a wall. So if you want to talk semantics, that's what they did vote for. They voted for 350 miles of fencing and or barriers.
And this is my point. It's semantics. So what kind of fence do you have in your backyard, Jack?
Yeah, mine is chain link.
Chain link. Bill, what do you got?
Mine is
stockade.
Stockade. There you go. Stockade. That's what it is.
My neighbor next door has beautiful plastic. You know what? That means a fence. I don't care what you call it. And Trump was smart. He came out a couple weeks ago and he goes, I don't care if you go to fence, barrier, whatever. It's going to be a 30-foot tall hunk of steel buried in the ground 12 feet. Nobody can dig under it. You can't climb over it. It's games. They're playing games. We don't hate the people in Mexico. Come through the proper door. That's all we're trying to say here. It's amazing to me, but hopefully they'll come up with something. If not, he's going to pull the pin. He's going to do something. He said, wait until, I heard him the other day. He says, wait till you see what I'm going to do after the speech that's coming up this week, the State of the Union speech. They've given in to have him. I can't wait to see the theatrics, though. I can't wait. Now, normally, when the president first walks in and they say, Mr. Speaker, you know, the sergeant at arms, the president of the United States, and everyone claps because that's about our country. That's our history. That's our constitution. He is
it's
the
unity.
President. It's who we are. And the whole world is watching, and everyone cheers and claps. Once he gets going in his speech, then people sit on their hands, they stand, then it's theatrical. I can't wait to see what these Democrats are going to do. Who's going to shout and scream inappropriately? Who's going to say things? They're not going to clap for anything. He's going to say, we have the greatest economy in 50 years, and the Democrats are not going to clap for the greatest economy. We have the greatest employment that we've had for African Americans and Hispanics in the last 50 years. They're not going to clap. We have more jobs for our people than we've ever had before, and they're not going to clap. Why are they not clapping for more jobs for our people? Because it's him. Do you realize where we are? Do you realize where we are? We're in a place no one has ever considered what this is, where we are. Where are we today? All right? Bill, what do you got to say?
You know, I'm not usually biased when it comes to what news media outlet I listen to or watch or read. But why is it that only Fox News is reporting on all the positive things that President Trump has been doing? You don't hear that from CNN. You don't hear that from MSNBC. You don't hear that from anyone other than Fox. Why is that? And you know what? The other left, I think they've left. That's why they're called the left. They're not even a part of this whole political thing anymore, other than to denigrate every good and positive thing that President Trump has done.
Okay, so let me draw it back to, I was very, very grateful to make an appearance on Viewpoint with Malcolm Out Loud a couple of weeks ago. And we talked about this, and I brought up when he said to me, what's one word you see going on? And I said, revolution. Now, we've talked about that here. We've talked about the cold revolution. We've talked about the hot revolution. Do you think we're in a revolution? Do you think this is what's happening? Where do we go from here, Bill?
I think it's more like a civil war. I think that the people in our country are going to get fed up with the way that the Democrats are denigrating President Trump, abusing their privileges. And I think that people are going to start to rise up, and after a while, they're going to be saying civil war. It's not just a revolution.
So what does that mean? What does that mean, civil war? Are we going to start shooting each other? What
I don't believe we're going to start shooting each other. Right now, it's a war of words. And unfortunately, the discourse isn't happening between the two parties. It's a one-way discourse backed by a liberal media. And unfortunately, it's getting us nowhere. And will get us nowhere. Groups such as Antifa are just looking for that one opportunity, unfortunately and horribly, when one of them gets, let's say, struck, injured, or even killed by somebody who's considered right wing. And then it really begins.
Then it starts.
Massachusetts
man here, we got Yankee Doodle Keith. Listen, do you think that we can put the genie back in the bottle? Do you think all of this that we've argued about, all these horrible feelings people have about each other, this split in our country, can that go backwards? Can we tuck that away and go backwards?
The only way I believe it can go backwards, Joe, is if everybody starts to understand that life takes place in the middle, in the gray.
We have to find
common ground. Otherwise, you're right, I'm right, no, you're not, yes, I am.
And that's kind of where we find ourselves.
That's where we are now.
So, what is common ground between absolutely no wall and the special people who say we absolutely have to have a wall?
You have to realize that you can't let everybody in. There has to be reasons. There has to be contributions.
A need for people.
Otherwise, we're just a welfare state, and America cannot continue as a welfare state.
Now, why can't
it bankrupt us? We're already in.
Jack, you work hard for your money. You have a nice house. You have a nice car. You have spare time to race cars and stuff. Wouldn't it be better off if you sold all those cars and gave it to the government so they could give somebody breakfast and lunch?
The point of the matter is this: no matter what you do for recreation or for fun, you work for it. Here in this country, it's something that you work for. And this is what I've worked for. This is what I've worked towards. And it's what I enjoy. And I feel I have a right to do it in this great country.
Because you think you've earned it.
Because I
have earned it. You didn't earn that.
Because I have earned it, yes.
Jack, yes, I want to see Nancy Pelosi on the bike, back of your motorcycle.
I'd love to.
I don't want to see that. I think that would be scary. Well, listen, this first segment went really quick. It always goes quick when we're sitting here. I love talking to you guys. You guys have been my blood brothers forever. I think there's a lot of common sense that we talk about here. Nobody really hates anybody. We just all have to decide what's important to us. That's, I think, the problem. Because half of us think certain things are important. that the other half of us do not think those are important? And how do we, as Keith said, how do we bring that together? And what's in the middle of, I think it's not important, you think it is important? So we'll be back in a minute. But first I want to tell you, hey, remember, True Security Design. TrueSecurityDesign.com, that's my company. We provide threat assessments, we provide training, we help you with what you're doing to keep everybody in your school or your business safe. So send me an email, jpangaro@truesecuritydesign.com, or you can reach out to me here at jpangaro@americaoutloud.com. Either way, we'd like to hear from you. So we'll be back in a minute, and hey, thank you, Neighbor Good Guys, for coming in early. I appreciate it.
The goal is to deliver a message of truth, inspiration, and hope to the world, to unite people from all backgrounds and beliefs in an effort to advance humanity. News blogs, informative podcasts, and entertaining videos. It's AmericaOutloud.com, where the conversation never ends. With 24/7 streaming on our free apps on both Android and Apple. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio.
All right, then. Welcome back to Chasing Justice here on the America Out Loud Radio Network. I'm your host, Lieutenant Joe, and I have the guys in the neighborhood here. We are really getting into it this afternoon, you know, as we do every week, because you know what? We care about these things. We're American citizens. We're patriots. We're trying to do the right thing. We're trying to accept the change that's come to our country. We're trying to accept where our country was wrong in the past and move forward. Because if you can't grow, you can't learn from past mistakes, you're never going to be better. So we're all on board for that. So anybody out there sitting there say, chasing justice is this and that, you're wrong. We're trying to find answers. We are part of the solution, not a part of the problem. And that's what we do here. We're trying to talk it out without arguing, without hurting each other. I got to tell you guys, I have something coming up. This is going to be interesting. And it's, of course, it's a joke for our friends on the left, but it's going to be deadly serious. We're going to invite somebody on to the neighborhood section to come in. That's going to be the liberal of the day. And I want them to come in and honestly give us their opinion. I'd like to have, because you can't have an opinion or conversation with somebody who's on the left. They start calling you names. You're a hater. You're 58. I just want to have a conversation. I've said 1,000 times here. They have a lot of good ideas. They feel from the heart. Unfortunately, you cannot govern from the heart. You got to govern from fact. But feeling has a place in what we do. We have to be compassionate, loving people. We have to look at the people who are downtrodden and say, how do we help them? What's the best way? The problem comes in when we say, feed a man a fish, you feed him for a day, teach him to fish, and he learns to live and feed himself for the rest of his life. Well, never the twain shall meet. And I don't mean Mark Twain, that of course Billy would bring up every week. I'm talking about the reality there is those two different philosophies are dividing us as a people. Do you just take care of somebody and say, well, they can't take care of themselves. They don't have the mental capability. They don't have the ability. They don't have the money. They're never going to do it. They're never going to achieve. The rich have everything, blah, blah, blah. Or do we say you can help people move out of their status? How many times have I talked about my status? I come from nothing. And I had fortitude. And I suffered. I did a lot. I did a lot of things that set me back. But I got to where I am because I didn't give up. Nobody gave me anything. I have no privilege in the world. Nobody said, oh, Joe, Joe Pangaro, here you go. You have to. I had to fight and scrape for everything I ever got. But I didn't give up and do it. That is the American dream. That is, it's opportunity, not outcome. I could have failed. I still may fail. We all can fail. But I'm trying hard every single day to see my goals and go get them. Nobody's in my way. Nobody's putting up a roadblock to me other than our tax system, which wants to rob me of every nickel I make so I can't get ahead. But I digress, as a man with a grievance often does. My point being is that here we are. We're trying to move ahead and we're trying to just cover all of these topics in a way that we talk about them. So we're going to have liberal of the day. We're going to bring in someone who's very, very far to the left. And we're going to have a real conversation because we need to hear what they have to say. We can't just look at our own side and go, that's the most important point. Maybe we're wrong. Keith, go ahead.
If I could say about that, Joe, not only do we need to hear what he says. Or she says. We need to find out where we agree. And as soon as we come to where we agree, you know, we've got some place to start.
You mean in that gray area?
In that gray area.
So now we have something we can start from.
Exactly. You need a starting point.
And then you have a conversation.
And I've never been able to find that starting point with every and any liberal I've ever spoken to.
And I find that difficult because, I find what a lot of them have to say important. They have great ideas.
There's always going to be people who are going to need help, a hand up.
We have to help them. That's our obligation.
But it shouldn't be a lifestyle.
Well, I agree. So that Keith, excellent, great point. That's why he's Yankee Doodle Keith. You know, he's not from, you know, from Massachusetts. He's from New Jersey, but he lives in Massachusetts now.
Very liberal state, Joe. I have to accept a lot of things that I don't completely agree with, but I try to see the gray.
Of course.
I try to find common ground, and that's why I'm telling you that I often struggle because many liberals just want to tell me I'm wrong.
And they want to call you names. And always. You hate for always. Various reasons. And I don't hate anybody. I don't hate anybody. I don't care who my neighbors are. As long as you're a decent person and you live a decent life, I don't care who lives next door to me.
That's
I want to be your friend. I want to have a cocktail over the fence, sit around the fire, have you join the neighborhood. That's who Chasing Justice is. So anyway, now that we got that out there, thank you, boys, for putting up with my tirade. You know that I get wound up with this stuff. But you know I love people. I love everyone. That's why you guys are all here. So let's think about something bigger than that. Let's go beyond what separates us and what could bring us together. The value of sports in our lives. We just had this great big Super Bowl. And I want to talk about what is the value of sports? What does sports do for us? Does it do anything? I mean, every weekend, the billions of dollars that are spent on advertising on sporting events, the reason that they're there and we don't see another TV show or another rock and roll concert is because people are watching sports. We always have. We are those people. Is there a value to sports? Jack, what do you think?
You know, when it comes to sports in general, with the youth, of course, there's value there. Everybody knows it. Everyone sees it. The camaraderie, the teamwork, and what have you. In the adult life, it's that break, man. It's that break. It's that escape from reality that we all need. We all need to sit down, whether you watch racing or you watch football or baseball or whatever it is that you watch. It's that escape from reality. It's that point in time where our minds aren't grinding away at the problems of the day, whether they be personal, political, or what have you. It's needed. It's necessary. It's something that draws our attention. It's something that keeps our mind busy with something other than the grinding notions of the day.
You're absolutely right. And I said, you know, I was in church today, and the priest brought up, hey, we need to do things that are different than just worrying about politics and money. All those things are important. They rule our lives. But we have to get away from it once in a while. You have to take a deep breath. I got this watch, and it tells me every 48 minutes, it sends me a message, breathe.
But that's
important. We got to breathe.
That televised or live break, depending on what you do and what you go to see, is something that we need, just like we need sleep. We need that diversion.
Sure. So I could sit next to a liberal, and we could all cheer for the same team. We can all be brothers and sisters in that moment of sport.
Unless President Trump sings the national anthem, then we're going to have a problem.
Or if somebody on the team wears a MAGA hat, then of course we have to hate everybody.
Yeah, we got
to
hate them.
So, Bill, as a man of faith, and I'm going to ask you, I'm going to put you on the spot, I'm going to twist this around. Does that coming together have a spiritual component for human interaction? Is there a moment that we can all look at sports and be on one team?
You have to look at what is the youth of America looking at when they see someone that they idolize in sports. I mean, we have the Super Bowl, we have the World Cup, we have the World Series, we have the U.S. Open, we have all of these things bringing together the best of the best. And the young people of our country are looking up to them. Who do they idolize? And you know, we have to think about, is it sports that we want them to idolize, or is it faith? And faith is the place where we have to start. I said this many times before in several segments. This country has lost their moral compass. We look at sports as a means to an end. Young men and women in the lower income neighborhoods having say a basketball court in their neighborhood. What are they going to focus on? I want to get there because I can make money. I can find a career.
I can get out of my situation. Don't we all do that? Don't we all want to get out of our situation if we start low?
But yes. Isn't that a specifically also an American dream?
Absolutely. It is. But now we're talking about a spiritual thing. Now, if we only focus on sports, we're losing that moral compass that we need to reset.
And this is what I'm asking you. Is there a component, though, of connections? Because everything connects. We're humans. And this is no by coincidence. It's all here for a reason. Is there a connection between spirituality and bringing us all together for a sporting event?
Well, yes, because you have to look at why are we coming together in the first place?
There you go.
It's that camaraderie. It's that
connection.
Everyone likes being in an environment that we all get along. That is what we need to be able to focus on, getting along.
Ring the bell for me, Jack, please.
Yes,
ding,
sir.
Ding, ding.
Ding, ding.
This is my point, and then I know maybe I went roundabout to connect spirituality and sports, and I know, but that's why I'm Lieutenant Joe. So what I'm bringing to you is the fact that when we all come together for something, that is the nature we're supposed to have. You're saying it's spirituality, and I agree, but we're supposed to have that connection to each other.
Jack had said something earlier off the air about 9/11. And what happened after 9/11? Our whole country came together.
Yes.
Why? We had a common enemy. And that common enemy paid the price. And our country was the better for it.
Yep. Keith, what do you got to say? You're jumping in there.
Was it a common enemy or just something that we all felt that we were hurt?
Good point.
Now you're starting to sound like Jim the Contrarian.
We don't need any of that.
Back to the sports and the religion thing, just by saying that, like religion, also, sports has a way of making us all feel a part of something bigger than ourselves.
Yes, I agree with that.
All of a sudden, that's us on the field. We're all us. That team is us.
Yeah. Right. And what happens when our sons and daughters come to us and say, "Dad, I want to do that because look at what Michael Jordan did. He's really one of the best basketball players. I'm good at basketball." And what happens? The dad or the mom says, "I want that for them. I can live my life through them. It's things that I wasn't able to do." It's a common theme throughout all of America.
And Keith, your point, I think, is exactly correct. And this was... Jack, the bell, please.
Ding, ding.
My point being is that we can find these connections because there's only so many roads to travel, and human connection is the key to everything. So spirituality brings us together. Sports brings us together with a different theme, but it really is a spiritual thing. When you're in that stadium and that wave goes around that stadium and you're waiting, you're sitting there watching as it comes around, waiting for your turn to be a part of what's happening there, and here it comes, and I'm part of it now. That's awesome. That is what spirituality is. We're part of something bigger than ourselves. Go ahead, Bill.
The emotion that it builds during that wave and whatever is akin to the emotion that people feel when they accept Jesus Christ.
Well, you're right about that, Bill, because that's a huge thing. That doesn't mean our Jewish friends don't understand that, or our Muslim friends don't understand it. But we're trying to give you something from our experience. And you're right. When you find that, when you feel that, when you go to church, and I go to church every week, and I'm a very flawed person. There's no doubt about it. I'm trying to make up for who I am. So I go there. But every time I go to church, I find something in that mass that addresses something in my life. It could be something tiny or something huge. And when it's huge, it slaps you in the face. Like you sit there and you go, and then you should, this is the right thing to do. And you go, oh, well, I don't really do that. But the thing is that it connects us. Do you see my point? And I know I'm going far afield here. But I'm trying to connect spirituality to part of everything we are as people. And right now we're talking about sports. We just had the biggest event going ever, Super Bowl. But sports brings us all together because that's our natural state we're supposed to be. And Bill, the man of faith, what you're saying is that really there is a bigger thing even going on than what we're talking about, and that's faith and spirituality. There is a God. Now, not everyone believes that. I happen to believe it. I think the guys here do. I don't know. You could tell me you do or don't, but I think there's something way more than just us, and that's part of what we are here.
And just real quick, one of the points that Bill brought up earlier, and he brought up so many good points, but one that hits upon me is one is my argument. When he hit upon what those sports players are to those kids and to those adults out there, I myself was a coach for 9 years. I had a bunch of kids that I brought up, and it was a fantastic experience. But in the time that I was doing that, I had to, let's just say, bite my tongue. I had to watch what I said and what I said about other people, what I said about foods, cultures, the weather, whether you lived up north or you came from the southwest or you came from the southeast. You had to watch and temper everything that you said. Now, I see in professional sports with so-called, let's just say, air quotes, adults, we're taking knees and we're making political statements and things like that. And in the meantime, I held my tongue for 9 years on things that I may have said that were not necessarily offensive, but I just couldn't say them. I didn't want to influence anybody or make anybody feel bad because I was in a position of authority with these kids. These sports players are, as Bill brought up, in a position of authority spiritually, mentally, with these kids and with some adults, let's face it. And their opinions can and may sway others. And well, Jack, that's not necessarily a good thing.
You brought up a different perspective. Everything in life is perspective. So when we look at as a coach's job, part of a coach, even in the word coach, is to mentor young people. These guys and girls that are in professional sports, and I'm not just talking about the NFL, I'm talking about all sports. It doesn't matter what it is. Some of them I could see where they don't see, I'm not in a mentor position, I'm just a sports player. The bigger picture is that if you get to that level, whether you want to be or not, you are a mentor. And there you got to take that serious.
Well said. And whether you're a sports player or you're a TV or movie star, you are in a position to influence people. And you are also take into account that you're in a position to influence young minds. Don't impress your opinions upon them.
Gotcha. It's one other thing that I wanted to bring back and to say is that you brought it back to the youth, and there's something we've all forgotten about sports. It teaches us how to lose gracefully and to accept another person's success without feeling as though they didn't deserve it or it should have been me.
Or you're garbage because you lost. No, you tried your best and somebody else won, and that's
good for them.
Good for that. Keith, you're
good for them.
Look at this Yankee Doodle Keith comes here. He brings like three different things of wisdom every time he talks. It's fantastic.
And of course, that magical word compromise when we let another player take the ball because we know he can take it down the field faster or better than we can.
That's like Keith just did with his opinion.
He ran down the road and he scored a touchdown. So listen, I'm going to talk real quick. My friend, we talked about the golfing, Twilight Golf Association. I'm telling you, look it up, Twilight Golf Association. If you want to golf, this young kid came up with this thing, and we're going to have him on here, Mr. Conrad. He created this thing. It's all across the country now. I think it's fantastic. Kathleen and I are going to do it. You should look at it, Twilight Golf Association. Go Google it right now while we're going on break. We'll be back in a minute with segment three here on Chasing Justice on the America Out Loud Radio Network.
Think back to the last time you felt healthy and energized. The best times of our lives occur when we're at the peak of our health, sleeping better, full of energy and focus. We know that fades with age, and you might be feeling the effects of aging as low energy and poor sleep. But it doesn't have to be that way. There haven't been any nutrition systems designed to rejuvenate our bodies as we get older, until now. Healthy Cell Pro is the only multi-nutrient system that impacts the building block of your body, the cell. Created by anti-aging expert and Nobel Prize nominee, Dr. Vincent Giampapa, award-winning Healthy Cell Pro cuts through the complexity of nutrition supplements by simply giving you the purest ingredients, filling dietary gaps to nourish your cells and enhance your quality of life for optimal performance. Visit HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for an exclusive discount or call 844-869-9958.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back. Here we are in ding, 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 round three of Chasing Justice here in the America Out Loud Radio Network. First of all, I want to talk about a couple things. Blue Magazine, for all our law enforcement friends out there. If you want to know about law enforcement, you want to read about law enforcement, you want to read some excellent things from writers that are down in the trenches and people who know what they're talking about, www.thebluemagazine.com. I write for them, and I've told you that before, but I think it's really a great voice of law enforcement. But everyone should read the articles in there because it's very telling what goes on. Now, here on America Out Loud, I love the fact that we have a show. I love the fact that I get to have the neighborhood guys on. We get to talk about the world. We have a platform that most people do not have. I get to talk to the country and technically the world because this show runs all around the world. And I understand the blessing that is, and I have to try and protect that and do the right thing and say the right things, give my opinion, not sounding like an idiot, but to give my opinion based on fact and what I actually believe in my heart. But I got to tell you, there are so many great shows on this network. I'm telling you, you go to AmericaOutLoud.com and you run down through talk show host. There are so many different programs here that you would find of interest. I'm telling you, if you haven't done it yet, all you do is listen to Chasing Justice. Do yourself a favor, go down the dial and look at other things. Ava Armstrong is one of the most tremendous voices out there. And Ava and I have gotten along great, and I've listened to her show. She is a great author, a wonderful person. And I know everybody knows I like Randy Sutton because he's my brother in law enforcement. But Jack, you had something to say about Randy the other day. What is it?
Yeah, well, ladies and gentlemen, if you're a fan of America Out Loud Radio, give Lieutenant Randy a listen. I was listening to Blue Lives Matter Radio this week, and I thought it was just fantastic. To listen to Malcolm, boy, he cuts right through it, right to the point. Enjoyable show. But Lieutenant Randy's show this week was just exceptional, and I really enjoyed it.
So give Lieutenant Randy Sutton a listen. He really is a great guy. I've met him personally. You know, he's a big deal in the law enforcement world. Randy is a big deal. And the fact that we're lucky here on America Out Loud to have him running a show is tremendous. And he's on every day. You can listen to Lieutenant Randy. Great guy, great experiences in law enforcement. That's what I'm telling you. This station is packed. I'm a talk radio guy. I've listened to talk radio since 1984 when I was a kid. I love talk radio. And this station's power packed. And that's why I'm just thrilled to be blessed to have all of you here with me, but to be a voice on the radio. I get to say what comes up in my mind. So, with that being said, remember, True Security Design, call me if you need help securing your facilities, training your people, keeping you safe. It's what I do. It's my passion. All right? Listen to Randy. Listen to Ava. Listen to the other station choices. It's fantastic. So, we had a great couple of sessions there. The first segment was so involved that we kind of lost track of time. And I'm going to thank all the guys and girls back at AmericaOutLoud.com Central who put that all together for us properly so you could hear it. But here we go. This is a topic that is very difficult to talk about. This is one of those things you don't talk about religion or politics, and this covers both. And we're not going to get into it in depth. We've shied away from the abortion conversation here on Chasing Justice because it is so difficult to have that conversation. But I have to tell you, my opinions on this have changed over the course of my life. They've gone back and forth as I had greater understanding of life and what it is to have children and where God comes into my life and what that means. But I have to tell you, in the last couple of weeks, we've seen two of our states pass laws that I don't even know how to put them into place with our American experience. And this is abortion at birth, and that's how I'm looking at it. I don't want to tell someone you can't make that decision, you and your doctor. That's not for me to say. What I can say is, what about the baby? That's what I always say. What about the baby? Because it is a baby. This is my opinion. I can't shy away from. It's a baby. From the minute it's conceived, it is a human baby. It is not a lump of cells. It's a baby. And therefore, we have to worry about that baby. Now, I can't tell you rape and incest and all of that. That's difficult. This is why this is so hard. I'm being honest with you as best as I can. I'm fighting my way through it. I have boys and I have girls. I have a wife. I had a mother. I had a father. We're trying to figure this out. This is a hard one, ladies and gentlemen. But these laws that Virginia and New York just came out with, which is basically abortion at birth. At the moment of birth, as that child is descending through the birth canal, to be born, someone can kill that baby. I can't wrap my head around that. I can't make heads or tails out of that. This, to me, is one of the most horrific things I have ever heard. I get the health of the mother. If my wife is going to die in childbirth because she's pregnant, I'm going to choose my wife. That's what I'm going to do. My wife would probably choose the baby because she's better than I am. But I would choose my wife. That's clear cut. When you get to the moment of birth, that child is coming into the world, and as that the Virginia governor said, we'll take the baby, we'll make it comfortable, we'll put it on the side, and then we'll decide what to do with it. What is there to decide what to do with it? It is a baby. You don't do anything else with it. The mother doesn't want it. Okay, give it to me. Give it to somebody for adoption. You're gonna execute that child? Because that's what it is. And my 15-year-old son said that to me. Dad, once that baby's born, they cut that cord, they put the baby on a table, and they decide they don't want the baby. They're going to execute that baby. What the hell, are we Nazis? Where have we gone in this country that we can say, well, that's just another decision to make? I can't get it. I am besides myself. Jack, you are always kind of pro-choice in these things. You've made that clear, and we have our disagreements on things. I do too. I'm fighting with it, but where are you on this as a pro-choice guy?
Well, we have our arguments about it, but at least we can talk to each other.
Yes.
My point still is and always will be with the woman's choice. I understand that there's a father involved. I understand all the traumatics that go along with that. But it's always going to be that woman's choice. I feel that the choice should be there for instances of incest, for instances of rape. I'm just going to use the word, to murder a child once it's been born is wrong. At what point is it wrong to abort a child? It's for better minds than mine. It's for deeper thinkers than myself. It's for people of religion that are in, let's just say, better contact with God than I am to make those kinds of decisions. I certainly would not be a proponent of it. But yet, I'm going to turn that over to better minds than myself.
I think that's a reasoned argument you're having with yourself, Jack. We're all trying to figure this out.
I'm trying to answer it without it sounding like a cop-out.
Yes, and I appreciate that. And this is what I'm saying. I'm trying to understand my feelings, my beliefs. How do I put them into the world? How do I take all sides into consideration? And at the same time, this is what I always come down to. What about the baby? No one speaks for that baby.
You have that baby, and you have a God, and you have a society, and you have a mother, and you have a father. Is there an easy answer in the middle? No, there's not.
Bill, you're sitting here, chomping. You're the man of faith. Help us out here. Where are we going?
I'm not one of those better minds than yours, Jack, but I do have an opinion, and it's very emotional. I saw an ad that showed this beautiful baby that was just born. And underneath the catchphrase, it said, I was born at 10:58, but I could have been legally murdered at 10:57. What does that say about our country? You know, when the actual name abortion means the ending of pregnancy due to removing an embryo or fetus before it can survive outside the fetus. Well, these babies are able to survive outside the fetus. What the heck are they talking about,
Bill,
when they say...
Bill, we're talking about a baby that's coming down the birth canal. That does not affect the mother's health anymore at that. She delivers the baby and she gives it to an adoption group. There's no reason to kill that baby. I don't get that. I'm sorry. This is where I have to draw the line. How can I look at this and go, at that moment that baby's being born, we can kill that baby? Who are we?
That's rather clear cut, Joe, and I will agree with you 100%. Once that baby's coming down the birth canal and the process of birth has begun, that's a living human being. I think we can all agree upon that, and I think we definitely solidly have a God behind us on that. But when life begins, when does that life actually begin? In my world, I believe in choice, but only up until a point. And honestly, I can't tell you where that point begins and ends.
Mm-hmm. I can.
Go ahead.
That life begins in the bedroom. The moment that someone decides to for lack of a better word, have intercourse with another person. That is that is where life begins. When thousands or millions of sperm are battling against each other, struggling to get to the egg, and that egg is fertilized, that's life. That is the point of conception, as far as I'm concerned.
Keith, you're chomping at the bit here, my friend.
The only thing I want to say about this show is if you want to get away from that philosophical point and look at it from a modern medicine point, doctors look for a heartbeat when they decide whether a patient has died. Mm-hmm. No heartbeat, death, no life. Mm-hmm. So if a baby's heart is beating inside its mother, that is alive. It can only be murder.
Okay, so
that's a great point.
This guy's unbelievable. Yankee Doodle Keith here every time. But the point is that we know that so many people have different opinions. And as much as I hate to even reference this guy, but Governor Cuomo in New York, he said a couple years ago that his father, Mario the Pious, back in the day. Thank you, Rush. I am taking your term there. Mario the Pious. Is that he came out and said, I'm a Catholic, but I can't let my faith dictate how I govern. So therefore, I can't say that abortion is wrong. I have to support the law. And the law says that the mother has the choice. But at the same time, he turned around and said, I'm against the death penalty because my religion doesn't believe in the death penalty. So he played it both ways. So we have people who are believing things that are not religious. We have to accept the fact that not everyone has religious beliefs. And they may see the world totally different than we do. So we really can't override them. What I'm saying is we have to have the conversation. We have to be honest with each other. Ed Koch, who I thought was really a good mayor of New York, and he was a crazy liberal guy, but he was a very good mayor of New York. He made a lot of sense. Ed Koch came out and he said one time, I am pro-choice because I think a woman should have a right to choose whether she gives birth or not gives birth, becomes a mother or doesn't, but let's not lie to ourselves. It's a baby. She's killing a baby. We are going to decide to make it legal that as long as that baby is part of her body, she doesn't have to have it. He's being honest. That was the most honest thing they ever said. But the reason we can't have this conversation, Keith, you talk about the gray area, why we can't really talk about this, is because if they were to admit that that's a baby, how do you make an argument that you should kill it?
When you can't even agree on where the gray area is,
right?
How so do this you get is, into it?
This is why it's so, and that's why the Ed Koch comment I thought was brave on his part as a liberal to go, let's just be honest. We want to say that a woman is the one who's pregnant. The men aren't pregnant. The woman is pregnant, and she does not want to have this lifelong commitment. Take religion out of it. She don't want the baby. She just wants it to be over. There's something to be said for a law that says that. I'm not in favor of it. It's against what I believe. My religion does inform me. But the reality is not everybody's religious. We can't even have the conversation.
Even if you take religion out of it, which I am, you know, not exactly want to do, but you take religion out of it, you look at how many of the babies that the mothers had attempted abortion or had a partial abortion or whatever you want to call it, and then this child has grown up to be a healthy, vibrant life. What does that tell you? You know, the babies struggle to come out of the womb. They struggle to take that first breath. They struggle to maintain that expectancy that I am going to be a real person.
Right. Now, I have to say, listening to you three guys and listening to what's going on there, Jack, you make a great point, is that it's difficult for any of us to have that wisdom to decide. You know, we're deciding, Bill and I have decided based on our religious belief of what we think. And I've said other people don't have that religious background. You have your belief on what you think people should be able to do no matter what. Keith, your point that we can't even talk about these things is why this is so difficult. You know, we have to be able to come together and talk. But I got to tell you, my point, and this is what I didn't want to get into the whole abortion thing, my concern for here, this segment, is abortion at birth. I get it. As a pro-choice person, how do you say at that moment that baby, they even have a part in that law, if the baby is born by accident, that means, you know, I don't know if you've ever been around women. Your first birth is sometimes difficult, but your second, third, and fourth is much easier. The baby comes right out because your body's used to that. For most part, ladies, I'm not saying everyone is. I know there's difficulties, but for the most part, your second and third babies, man, they pop right out. So if you're on that table trying to decide what you want to happen to this baby and you accidentally push when you should have held on and that baby's born, they're still giving you a choice what to do with that child outside of your body. I'm telling you, make that case to me. I don't get it. That baby's born now. That's
a live beating heart.
You know, and I know a lot of you out there have read my son Jack's article on good and evil, and I was very pleased with all the comments that came in. But let me say this. He brought up a point the other day. He goes, Dad, what about the fathers? What about the fathers of this baby who's about to be born, and that woman says, no, you know what? Kill that baby. Why don't we say at that point the father takes the baby? We have to have the conversation, people. We are in a whole nother place now. We're not talking about first trimester where you can argue about it doesn't matter, religious, it's cells, it's whatever, it's not a baby. You can have that argument. Our country has to have that argument. But now to say at the moment of birth, who are we to do this? There's a lot of women who are confused, uneducated, not sure what to do, lost in emotion. Their lives are difficult. And they make these decisions that I think later on they regret. I think there's a lot of facts later on that we see women regret that they've done this. So I'm not going to say that the woman is evil at that moment. I can't say that. She's making a bad choice. She has a bad understanding of what it is. Or maybe she is bad. I'm just going to say I can't say she's evil. We all make the choices we make. We have to have compassion for each other. We have to figure out how do we love, how do we go on. So, fellas, thank you. This was a tough one. I knew this was going to be tough to talk about. It's tough for everyone to listen to. You have to think at home in your heart. Do you want abortion at birth, at the moment of birth? Where are we, people? Thanks for listening to Chasing Justice this week. Next week will be a lot more fun. We'll have the liberal of the day. We'll have Jim back. He'll argue with everything that we say. And we have a game show coming up. Great quotes of great people. So thanks for listening here on the America Out Loud Radio Network.